Sfiyer, Malacha, most of us are familiar with, right, the laws of Sota. But sometimes I find particularly intriguing the opposite. When we look at something we do all the time, and, we look at something we do all the time, but perhaps we don't understand what we're doing. And we can appreciate and analyze more deeply when we go to the sources. And that, of course, is the institution, the repetition of the Amidah. Right, here we have this institution we engage in twice daily, right, every Shachar and Mincha. And it's worthy of thinking about what exactly is the purpose and the nature of the repetition of the Amidah. And also, to trace halakhic history sometimes, has its nature or purpose changed over the course of the generations. Okay, so let's start. So the main sugya is really a Gemara Rosh Hashanah. And the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, of course, takes note of the fact that we all daven a private Amidah, and then there's this repetition. So it tries to make sense of it. So first, the Chachamim say, Kishem Shlesliach Tzibur Chayav, Kach Kol Yachav Yachav Chayav. Just like the Shlesliach Tzibur davens, every individual has to daven. So the Chachamim put a lot of emphasis on the private Amidah. It's very important that everyone does their private Amidah. And then Rabbi Gamliel says, Mulomer Shlesliach Tzibur Mutzit Rabbi Midei Chobatan. So it sounds like Rabbi Gamliel, the real deal is actually Chazar Hashatz. Right, so in a certain sense, if we start asking what's the purpose of Chazar Hashatz, Rabbi Gamliel would say, what kind of question is that? That's when everyone fulfills their mitzvah of tefillah. Really, your mitzvah by listening to the Shlesliach Tzibur. So of course, in classic Gemara fashion, if each one has a different focus, if the Chachamim focus on the private Amidah, and Rabbi Gamliel focuses on the communal Amidah, so obviously we have to ask each one, why do we do the other? Right, if one is really essential, what's the purpose of the other? So that's where the Gemara starts. So let's go to the second source. Kishem Shlesliach Tzibur Chayav Kach Kol Yachav Chayav. Tanya, Amar Lo L'Rabbi Gamliel. So the tzibur, so the chacham is sitting on the middle. Lidvarecha, if you're right, namely that the real tefillah is the repetition. Lama tzibur mitbalim. Why do we bother with the private amidah? Amar lehem kedei lahastir shliach tzibur tefilato. It's a pretty radical answer. Say, what's what we all think? The whole purpose of the private amidah is only to do what? What? I'm sorry. Yeah, give the tzibur a chance to get his act together. Right, he'll know exactly what he wants to do, what he wants to pray, how he's going to daven, and then he'll get to it in the repetition. So again, but the key move for us is, according to Rabbi Gamliel, where's the real act of tefillah, the real mitzvah of tefillah being fulfilled? In the repetition of Amidah. Now, there's a comeback. Amar Lahem, Rabbi Gamliel, L'divrechem, if you're right, that the real deal is the individual Amidah, Lama Shlich Tzibur Yorei Lefnei Ateva, so what's the purpose of Chazar Hashatz? Amar Lo, Kedei Lohotzi Etch Eino Baki. So he says, no, the Chum say, there might be people in the room who don't know davening. Right? Again, we have to think about a world where we don't have printed sidurim. Maybe not everybody's so literate. So if someone shows up to Mincha, doesn't know what to say, we want him to have a chance to fulfill the mitzvah also. So he fulfills the mitzvah by listening. Okay, so to sum up Machloket 1, according to Rav Gamliel, the real tefillah deal is the repetition. The private amidah is just to prepare the shots. Conversely, according to Chachamim, the real tefillah is the private Amidah, and the repetition is for the sake of someone who's not an expert. Okay, we're good? Great. Let's keep going. Amalem, Kishem Shemotziyat Shinobak, Kachmotziyat. Okay, then there's a discussion. I'm not going to do the rest inside, but there's a discussion, if you skip down to about the seventh, eighth line, Mu'udim Chacham L'Gamliel B'Barachot Shavashana V'Shem L'Kippur. Maybe somehow there's a distinction between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur Amidah and all year round. And what's the suggestion? Even those who think that all year round the real Amidah, the real tefillah is your private, maybe Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur they'll concede that the real deal is the Shlesliach Tzibur. Why would one make such a distinction? What's the logic differentiating between every Amidah and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Jared? Long. So we all know it's a very complicated Amidah. It's long, especially the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. Okay, how many brachot are there in Musaf of Rosh Hashanah? It's a good answer to a trivia question. Because all year round, how long is the Shmoneh Esrei? There are only two options usually, right? Either 19 brachot or 7, right? On Shabbat, you can miss 7. So you can try to miss out with your friends at next time you're bored at a good party, right? What is the one Amidah all year that is neither 19 brachot or 7 brachot? And the answer is Musaf and Rosh Hashanah, which is 9 brachot, right? Because there are three themes, Malchut, Tzavot, and Shavrot. So we know that Rosh Hashanah is more complicated. And indeed, as the Gemara goes on, if you skip to two lines in the Gemara, the Gemara says, "My Shnahani, why should these be any different? Ile Mishum Dinafishi Krai." What's the Gemara's first suggestion? There's a lot of psukim. If you go to the Malchut, Tzavot, and Shavrot theme, we quote a lot of psukim. The reality is, you don't need all those psukim. They're not really crucial. El mishum da'av shei brachot. So what's it? It's not so much they're more psukim, but they're more brachot. But again, Jared's right. The point is Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is more complicated, and therefore you might be yotzi with the Shliach Tzibur. Simon.
I kind of mix things up with Yom Kippur, but also don't we say like Hinyan Rosh Hashanah?
We do say Hinyan Rosh Hashanah. So why is that not relevant though?
So why don't we also have this principle of taking on Hashanah's responsibility for the call? And he's saying like, okay, like I'm the conduit for everyone else. So like we have this principle of the Chazan being exceptionally responsible on Rosh Hashanah. So like, we say the same thing. That's the case of the last few months or two.
Look, it's an interesting question you raised, like how do we conceive of the role of the Chazan in general? But even according to the Chachamim, that people are Yotze in their private Amidah, right, presumably the Chazan has some other role. What is the Chazan's role? For example, even, let's say the Chazan's role on in Pesukim Zimra, is he just the placeholder there? Right? So you're right, we have to explore the Chazan's role in general, but I don't think that takes away from Shita's Chachamim. Yeah, Jacob.
According to Rav
Shlomo
Leo, he says that the Chazara
Chaz
is
the real tefillah.
According to that, the Chazan would not have to say
Shmoneh
Esrei the first time.
No, Dafka, he more than anyone else should say the first time. He's getting his act together. He's practicing what he's going to say.
First time, so he doesn't get to say it, he's getting ready.
Maybe the best way to get ready is to do it.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe also.
Okay. But then I think you can make the case that he says it, and now, having said it once, he's got it down. It's like practicing your speech, right? You practice your speech, and now you're good to go. Yeah, Jordan.
According to Rabban Gamliel, what's the purpose of davening alone?
Meaning everybody else.
No, like, let's say you don't have opinion.
Ah, no. Okay, I should have clarified that. Okay, obviously, if you're not with a minion, then you fulfill the mitzvah by davening yourself. But when you're in a minion context, he would then say that the tefillah is actually the Chazar Shatz. You're right, you'd concede in that individual context. Yes, Joe.
It is a definite proof that Rabban Gamliel thought it wasn't Racha Levata if you were just practicing. Like, if practice is a good enough reason to make it Racha.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Why is that crazy? We have an idea that Chinuch is not a Racha Levata. Okay. Maybe practice is not a Racha Levata.
Okay.
Again, think about it. What's Levata? It has no purpose.
All right, thank you.
This has a purpose. Yeah, Nick here.
I was just going to say, maybe building off what Sasha said, it's actually, I was going to go different. Maybe the whole reason that you had the new is actually the opposite. It's like Sasha was saying, that's the original cause. And I'm saying maybe that's actually the product of this outlook on Tzviva, that like, because, I mean, of this argument, because, what's it called? Because the Shliach Tzibur, specifically on the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, has this new found job, like extra.
Oh, that's interesting. You're saying it's not an accident they have hidden an Ani on Rosh Hashanah and not on.
Right.
That's clever. Okay, I think there are other ways to explain that, but that is a clever shot. Okay, so let's go back for a second now. Now, normally, Machlokim Chacham Ragum Lunil, we'd imagine the halacha would follow Chacham, right? So let's assume that for now. So would we go like Rav Gamliel? It would not be much of a question what the purpose of Chazar Shatz is. Chazar Shatz is, that's how we yotzi the mitzvah tefillah. But if we go like Chachamim, so now we're saying the real tefillah is your private Amidah, and Chazar Shatz is just for the Eino Baki. But now we can go a little bit step further. Wait, what if I am a Baki, but I'm just lazy? Like, can I just choose to be yotzi with the Shliach Tzibur? Yeah, I'm tired today. Today I'm not going to pray, I'll just listen to the Shatz. Okay, so let's go to the Shulchan Aruch in Source 3. So here's some Karo Paskins. Laka Shesimu Tzibur Tefillata and Yachzar Shliach Tzibur Tefillah. We do Chazar Shatz. Why? If the emu doesn't know, he can be yotze. So we seem to be following the chachamim, right? What's the purpose of Chazar Shatz? For the eno baki. Now he's not explicit about it, but the Magen Avraham in source 4 says you should make an inference. Sheni yodea avla baki eno yotze b'tfilat tzibur. What's the claim here? That you can, it's not an option, right? So now I think it's important because the Magen Avraham, we're saying there's a strong preference, right? Tefillah is not meant to be a spectator sport. It's not meant to be like a vicarious endeavor. Oh, you pray for me. It's meant to be everybody turns to God individually, right? But we have to make some concession for the Eino Baki. But if you're a Baki, you have no right to rely on that concession. So it limits Chazar Shatz. Chazar Shatz is really only for the Eino Baki, which will obviously bring up further questions as we go along. Okay, let's go back to the Shulchan Aruch. Now we get to a very interesting machloket. Back to the Shulchan Aruch, the Tzarech Otosh Yotzeh B'Tzilat Shliach Tzibur. Let's say I'm an Eino Baki. I'm a beginner. Right, so here I am in Shul, I'm a beginner. I want to just listen to the Shatz. L'chavein l'chom ha'ashom 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 ha'ashom. So concentrate on what he's saying. Ve'eino mafsik. Ve'eino meisiach. Right, you don't speak. Uposea gimel psio lachrav kadam shpelas mode. I thought it was very interesting. Kids, if any of you knew that halacha beforehand, when I'm yotzei shliach tzibur, what do I do when he's done? I take three steps back. Now, if you look in the pre-charash, okay, if you look in the pre-charash, he quotes the opposite opinion, okay, that the shliach tzibur does it all. So I think it's interesting, like, to what degree is it a vicarious endeavor? To what degree is it not a vicarious endeavor? Right? If I think, like, I think the three steps would be quite telling. Like, if I'm not doing anything. So in some ways, it's just like I made a shliach. He does everything for me, right? I option out. I subcontract tefillah. Okay, you do mincha for me. If you say I walk the three steps back, I think, what are you really saying? I'm really davening. How do I daven? Through listening. Maybe, right? There is a rule in halacha, shomea ka'ona. So if you take shomea ka'ona very seriously, in a certain sense, you're not subcontracting your tefillah. You're just doing a different means of doing tefillah. Right, okay, unfortunately, I don't know the words, so I'll listen, but I'm davening, and therefore I finish by walking back. So I think it's very telling, the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, that I actually walk the three steps back at the end of davening. Zach, the Baal HaDug.
So would they say that if you have 10 people that are
excellent question. So now Zach's on the right track. It's such a good question that they asked the question with the Rambam 900 years ago. So the question is, wait. If we're saying the whole purpose of Chazar Neshatz is for the Eino Baki, what if you live in a world where everyone's knowledgeable? You could say, you go to Yeshiva to Raita, got a room full of knowledgeable people. Everyone is quite capable of praying the Amidah on their own. So maybe we should cancel Chazar Neshatz. It no longer serves any purpose. Excellent question. Zach, we're going to see that this question was asked of the Rambam. Okay? Yeah, Jonah. I'm going to go from the Baal HaDag to the Betoch HaDag. Very exciting.
The Eino Baki is that the work that are made without the Bible.
Oh, that's interesting. You want to say you could have different kinds of difficulties and therefore you need the chazan's help.
Yeah, like maybe it's like a second opportunity, almost.
Interesting. I have to think about it. It's an interesting question. Are you? You want to say something?
Yeah. What about the fact that it's kind of a double barrier, like, not able to read, or whatever it is, and now you're
just Look, so there is an interesting question, which I'm not getting to right now. When you use this method, does the Eino Baki have to have some understanding of what's going on, or you could be completely clueless? There is a discussion in the Chorin about that. So if you're curious, I could give you some sources, but we're not going to get to this now, right now. Yeah, John?
Well, on that question, can't you take the opinion that he doesn't have to take three steps and that would mostly him, even if he didn't understand it?
I'm not sure the three steps is the same question. You think the two are linked?
I'm saying maybe you take the, whoever the Mugin Aram, that's it, you don't take.
Well, the pre-Kaddish quotes the Ritz Gaius, yeah.
So maybe you take that opinion that he doesn't have to take three steps back.
Okay, you could say that. So you want to say if you take three steps, that means you're more involved in what's happening, and you need some understanding. If you don't take three steps, as I phrased it, you're really subcontracting the whole thing. Okay, you could say that. It's not a bit smart. Okay, we're good? Yeah, Mayor.
If it's already shots to the Eidobaki, that's really illiterate, I'm playing off Arian's question. Mm-hmm. Well, how do we expect him to say anything to Rabbi Lund?
How do we expect him? Why do you assume we do expect him to say within the Rambam?
Wasn't that part of Chazar Shatz?
Where you're heading a different direction now. You're saying maybe Chazar Shatz creates the opportunity for a new tefillah, which is not what we've said so far. If we stop this year right now and ask why do we repeat the Amidah, what's the answer? Not connected to Modim Darabanan. We repeat Chazar Shatz so that people who don't know will be Yotzi the Mitzvah Tefillah. Okay? We're going to get to your point shortly. Max.
Saying quietly is for no purpose other than just practice, then wouldn't there be hefsek between Gal Yisrael and actual tefillah? Because this wouldn't really be a tefillah on earth, since it's really unnecessary.
That's an interesting question. Look, what you're doing is certainly tefillah. No, put it this way, if hashkivein could be a tefillah rechta, so practicing tefillah could be a tefillah rechta. Right? No, isn't that a good argument?
What's the purpose of hashkivein there? It's to...
Put it this way, I don't care what the purpose is. Once you say a different tefillah could be a tefillah rechta, so tefillah practice could be a tefillah rechta. Okay? We're good? Great. Okay, now, one of the nice things about tshuvot, guys, tshuvot gives you a sense, like a little taste of Jewish history. Like, if you're reading a halachic code, okay, somebody wrote a halachic code. But if you're reading a tshuva, there's some community of, you know, live Jews who had this question, they wrote to a famous rabbi, because they feel like you're going back in time a little bit. So yeah, let's go back to the 1100s. Okay, and you have a question, and who else can ask a question in the 1100s but the Rambam? So you write a letter to the Rambam. So let's see what they asked the Rambam here in the 1100s. Okay, we're good? Alfred, you with us here? Okay, excellent. Here we go. So you got in the Rambam. Okay, Shayla. Okay. Ma yomer adonenu b'davar kahal, shit balu v'kulam b'kin b'tfilah. Zach Stauber, here's your question. What if everyone knows, right? Okay, there aren't sidurim, but you're in a shul in Alexandria. Everyone's knowledgeable. They all went to Seder. This is very interesting. So should he do it anyway? So should we do Chazar HaShatz anyway? Maybe not. Everyone fulfilled the mitzvah.